is a very new point of view for me. But yes, so hi, I'm Matthew. This is my first time giving a sermon, so please bear with me. And if anything is unclear that I've talked about today, please feel free to talk to me anytime afterwards. I'd be glad to clear anything up and also learn from you if I have gotten anything wrong. So to start off, I want to give just a brief update on my ministry over this past year with Ambassadors for Christ. So over this past school year, I've been working very closely with students at the Chinese Christian Fellowship at U of T St. George. Because this was a very new, growing relationship between my organization and this fellowship, a lot of the bulk of my time at the beginning was spent just observing. So being in their midst, attending their fellowship, being in their meetings, and just taking the time to really gather a better perspective on what the spiritual climate is amongst the students there, but also in their campus. And it was through this lengthy process that I began to then start building up leadership in a lot of their existing leaders, but also seeing to the needs of those that are seeking to learn more, seeking to grow in their faith. And and it's in this time that God really showed me how hungry this next generation of students are for both just a growing knowledge of who God is, but more importantly, a more active exercising of their faith in their daily life. So each of these days, I learned something new about God's power, about his people, and about his plan for me, which leads us to the message today that I've been given to speak to you. So as I take you through how God has prepared me to make decisions in this past season, and as we explore the story of two different kings in the Old Testament, I want you to really reflect on and think about, how do you make decisions in your life? So both big, both small, any decision, what is the process that you go through in deciding what you want to do? And today I hope to bring you through a practical method of reflecting on that, and hopefully we can all together learn to better recognize and listen to God's voice and his unique plan for each of us. So let me begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for it all. We thank you for just being the good God that you are, that we have this space to come and worship you, that we have this time and opportunity to know one another more deeply, but now to be able to hear your word through me. And right now I just pray that you would give me the words to say, that your spirit would guide our discussion and conversation today, and that we would really be able to come out of this with a better understanding of who you are and your unique plan for each of us. And right now I just want to lift up the rest of this day into your hands as churches around the world bring praise to your name. I pray that the praise that we brought this morning would be satisfying to you. And we lift this all up in your son's holy name. Amen. So, I forgot to promote. Thank you. So what is discernment? A big word. We can shorten it to discern. So right now I want you to take 5 minutes to just wake each other up and discuss what this word means, its definition, and what it means to you. So you can gather around with the people close to you. If you're very far away from people, maybe it's a good time now to move up and gather. Let's spend just a little bit of our time now. What is discernment? What are we even talking about today? And what does it mean to you?
It can mean something different to you.
Not everything has to be black and white. That's the dictionary definition. Yeah.
I mean, maybe we're just sort of standing for that. What you have. Just using the punch to make life not proper. So you know, there are things that are doing or not.
Yeah, just give me a little signal when you guys are ready to come back. Okay, get your last thoughts out, and we'll come back together. Okay, let's come back. All right. Can I get a handful of volunteers to share what you or someone in your group may have shared this morning? So what is discernment? Don't be shy. No need to raise your hand or anything. So actively figuring out the truth and separating it from lies. Okay? Yeah? You in the front?
Using critical thinking to make a good decision.
Critical thinking. An answer after my own heart. Okay? Anyone else? What is discernment? Or what does it mean to you? Trying to find the best possible path.
Okay. Well, judging on a matter. So it doesn't have to be the best possible path. Some path he asked me to go through is like, are you sure? But he wants me to go through it still. So it doesn't have to be the best possible good path, right? But it's just discerning the matter and then making a decision based on that.
Okay. So these are all very good, valid points. And that we'll be exploring a bit further now. I have the remote. Okay. So I looked it up. And to discern means to perceive or to recognize the difference between two things, or to distinguish what you are observing from one thing to another. So like, this mic is a mic and not a table. Something like that. Okay, so from what I've gathered from what you guys have shared as well, discerning is a very active thing, something you need to think about, something you need to then do something about. So when we combine all these things together, all these thoughts, all these definitions, we get that discernment is all about understanding and judging well in order to decide or to act well. So if we put all the things we talked about together, it's about understanding and judging well in order to decide or act well. And this is in a very broad sense. So now I want you to think of a time. Some of you, I heard in the front, were already thinking about these things, but think of a time when you had to make a big decision in your life. Something like picking a university, something like choosing which subject you want to go through in school, or choosing what job field you want to go into. Now, I want you to also think about a time when you have to choose something that really didn't really matter, something really minor. Could be something like where to eat for lunch after church, or what to wear for the day. So these decisions seem to require, maybe some of them require more thought than others, some of them require less, but as we enter these two stories in the Old Testament now, I want you to reflect on how we go about making decisions both big and small. So, Let's examine how these two kings did it. So we'll be going through two stories today, King Rehoboam and King Jehoshaphat. So we already heard about King Rehoboam a couple of weeks back, but to summarize his story, it's taken from 2 Chronicles 10. So Rehoboam was the son of King Solomon. So that was the one that came after King David, which I hope you all know. And when he entered his rule, his first kind of task given by his people that he was ruling over was that they were requesting that their workload would be lessened. Because at the time, they had to do a lot for the previous king, King Solomon, and they were growing tired of that. They were growing very weak and very unhappy. Being a king, he sought to get advice from his advisors. So at the time, he still had the old men from his father's council, so a bunch of wise guys that were making pretty good decisions in the past. And he asked them, "What should I do?" And they told them it would be wise to accept the proposal, to let them have less work so that they can be more content and that they would follow him more readily and not be overburdened by work each day. Obviously, King Rehoboam did not listen to this advice. He sought to have a different point of view from younger men that he grew up with and that he could better relate with. And it would be these younger men who would tell him that, you know, you should do the complete opposite. You should double down and give them even more work, make them even more unhappy. But what that would do is make them see you as greater than your father, that you would be an even more powerful, more oppressive king. And this sounded very good for him. So he did this. But what he wouldn't know was that this would result in a revolt. This would result in the splitting of Israel into the northern and southern kingdoms. And ultimately, he would lose essentially half of his people in this event. So now that we've gone through King Rehoboam, let's go to his great-great-grandson, Jehoshaphat. So in this case, we see another case of a king, also in need of advice, as he was being asked at the time by the now other king of Israel to enter a war with him. So before making this decision to go into war, we love to see that he wanted advice. He didn't want to just jump into the war straight up. So in this, we see a very big shift from the previous king that we just talked about, how he chose to get this advice. And what he directly stated to King Ahab at the time, the other king, was that he wanted to hear first from God. He wanted to hear what God had in store for him and that whether this was his will or not. In response, King Ahab brought every single prophet he could think of in his kingdom. So there's, I think in the story, it was like 400 different prophets. They would each tell him that going into the war was good. You should do it. Like, God will surely help you in this war. But Jehoshaphat, sensing that these prophets weren't prophets sent by the one true God, the God of Israel, but rather these were different councilmen from King Ahab, different people in higher positions that had different agendas. So he asked one last time, "Is there any prophet of the Lord here that I can hear from?" And to King Ahab's dismay, he's like, there's one guy, there's one prophet. But I really, really don't like him because every time I ask him for anything, he says something bad. He tells me that, like, God really doesn't want me to do that, but I really want to do that. So Jehoshaphat, hearing this, requests to hear from him. And lo and behold, this prophet, Micaiah, he comes and he tells them the same thing as the other prophets, that that God wants him to go into this war with, allied with King Ahab, and that he'll surely be victorious. There was a later other prophecy that would come. But at the end of the day, it was the same outcome, same advice, but from someone, an actual prophet from God. So, okay, we'll continue here. We see a very clear contrast, right, between these two kings. We see one that sought knowledge from God, and we see one who didn't. It's very clear. We can also learn a lot from the choices that these two kings made, right? Rehoboam put himself first. He wanted a kingdom that he would have sole control over, and he sought that through establishing more power, more oppression, and more control at the end of the day for himself. This didn't lead him to many great things, but he, in seeking advice for this decision, rather than seeking for knowledge that would give him a more wise decision, he rather sought after affirmation from these younger men. He sought after people who would agree with him and tell him something that he would like to hear. In complete contrast, we see Jehoshaphat. He didn't want to hear what anybody wanted to say. Nobody, except God. And even these people who claimed to be from God, he turned away because he could very clearly see that they had other motives. Right? He waited patiently for the one prophet who did come from God, who was speaking from God. And he put all of his trust and his outcome into God's inevitable triumph. So earlier, we mentioned a practical method of reflection that I'd like us to consider when we're making decisions and listening to God's voice. And now before we go through these different steps, please understand this. There is no better way in hearing God's word than reading the Bible. It's literally called His Word. And His Word serves as the basis for each of these steps we will be taking. So before we do anything practical, I want to remind you that the most clear and the most readily you'll hear God's word is from the Bible, His Word. So I encourage you to, if you have trouble reading, to there are many different ways you can go about setting up a schedule, setting up a plan. Even reading with others is a very good way of doing it. I encourage you to seek these different avenues. Okay, so let's go through these steps. Ignore the title. That's from a different presentation I was doing with these same slides, but the bottom three steps are still true. So we're going to be going through very, very simple things you can do in your daily life. All right. So first, I want you guys to think about it. When you're making a decision, oftentimes it's very easy for some of us to directly jump into making a decision or doing something about it, sometimes even without thinking. So I want you to think about it. Next, I think we should be talking about it. A lot of times, maybe we didn't skip the step of thinking about it. And then we think it's good, we make a decision, all right, let's go with it. But oftentimes we forget to ask the people around us, people we trust, people that can give us advice, like these different people that the king sought after in the Old Testament that we just read. And finally, praying about it. I hope that's very self-explanatory, but we'll be diving into it a bit deeper in a moment. So thinking about it. I think there's a lot of different things that kind of come up when you hear the word think. Like, you can go through like the logic of, will this work out? Or will this be good for me? Or will that person like what I did? But I think before we even get into any of these things, I think it's important to reflect on what is important to you. Like, what are you looking to get out of making this decision? And why does that come from, or what does that decision come from? What is important to you? So in the stories, we saw clearly the motive behind why these kings chose what they did. For Rehoboam, it was to put himself first. What was important in his life was maintaining very strict control and to be a much more fearsome leader than his father was, King Solomon. And that triumphed over everything else he wanted to hear, no matter if what other people had to say was sound, it was good. And with that, with the knowledge of what is important to you, I would ask you to then reflect on how have you seen God lead you through different things in the past? So how have you gone through these different experiences, seen what is important to you, acted on what is important to you, and seen how God has brought you through those things? For myself, in my later years of university, after I made the decision of going into full-time ministry, I had this one burning question that I was longing to have an answer for, which was, God, where do you want to bring me into your ministry? Where is the people that you want me to serve? And all that time, I was thinking about, I was worrying about the details, like what specifically it may be, like what position it could be. What was important to me wasn't the destination or like what I would actually be doing, but the simple thought of knowing what it would be so that I could prepare, which is not a bad thought to say the least, but at the end of the day, my focus wasn't on God. It was on myself and what I would be doing. And it was through that, when I recognized that, that I began to then see what God wanted. At the time in university, I was serving with my university's Christian fellowship. My question of who would it be and what would it be was already answered. I was already in the mission field that God had prepared for me. I was already serving the students there. I was already being served by the students there and seeing just how much God had been pouring into that community, that small community I was in. All right. And next, talk about it. Oftentimes, it's very easy to keep things to ourselves. As majority Asian people here, it's very easy to just not share our more larger struggles in life. And in these big decisions, it's it may be a sign of weakness in relying on other people to tell us what to do. But oftentimes, you would find that you would have a much better perspective, a much wider and greater perspective, if you would seek counsel with those around you, people that have been observing you in your life, older brothers, even younger, your parents, people you trust, your teachers. These are all people in that God has placed in your life to observe your life, to live with you. So I think it's very reasonable to say that they would have a very useful knowledge for you to make a decision in your life. As they've seen you walk, as they've seen you grow, God has planted within them discernment about your life. So I want you to consider that for a second. Are there people in your life that you trust? Are there people in your life that you would consider a mentor, someone that you look up to and learn from? I think these things are very, very crucial. I've seen it in my own life. I've had very many teachers, very many mentors that I've been glad to walk alongside. And I can say very confidently that in my times where I've felt the most stuck, when I've thought that I've seen every angle or every way a decision could have went, that they bring a much newer perspective, a new fresh perspective for me, to be able to see more clearly. So I think it's very important that we seek this out, since we are called to live as one body, in community, that we are to depend on one another. I think it's only right to then share this same part of our lives with one another in order to be able to spur each other on. All right. And finally, this one is both simple, but also maybe for some of us, maybe for all of us, sometimes difficult. Pray about it. When was the last time, you don't have to answer, when was the last time you prayed before making a decision? For some of us, maybe it was the last decision. For some of us, maybe we only pray when it's something big happening in our lives that we think may affect everything. And it's only then that we lift it up to God. Maybe we've come to a routine of bringing everything to God, which I would commend you for. But I think as we approach these different scenarios in life, as we approach these different decisions, it's important to bring them up to God as the God who has orchestrated all these things, who has planned a path for you to bring these things to Him. A God of peace who brings that to us as well through these different storms, through these different troubling times that we sang about. And in that, I want to say that we first give thanks for the blessings in our lives. So earlier I mentioned in Think About a section, thinking about how God has already led you through these different situations. As I reflect back on, university was a very turbulent time for me. But looking back, I can very, very readily see just how much God pulled me through them. These different scenarios where I thought everything was doomed, you know, now I'm here and I'm alive and well. And I can share this with you. That in itself is, I would consider, a big blessing for myself. And I hope can be a blessing for you. Giving thanks for the blessings in our life. And then asking God for wisdom, for the Spirit to guide you through decisions. This doesn't have to be something that you do only when you make a decision, but I hope this is a practice that we can begin to do at the start of each day, before we even do anything. As we wake up, as we look forward to the day and the things that we'll do, I think it'd be very beneficial for all of us to really leave that in God's hands. There may be things that you're anxious about. There may be things that you're excited about. But I think all of these are very, you know, useful and productive things to bring to God for that day, to see Him bring you through them. And this brings us, it's kind of small, but back to our passage from the beginning, the scripture that Michael read. So I'll read it again. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. 1 second. Okay. The scripture reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." I hope this piece of scripture is can be very encouraging to you. A lot of times, you know, we may not see many of these things. We may be having our mind clouded by the decision itself. Maybe the decision itself is stressful. Maybe we are clouded by the worries and stresses of those around us. Maybe we might be taking on burden from work or school or the different things that come in life. But as Paul has urged the Philippians to do, I would also like to urge you to do, to keep these things in mind, these good things, these things of God. It could be something that God pulled you through in the past, a memory, something that you saw only God could bring you through. Keep that in mind. It could be a piece of scripture like this one to encourage you. Keep that in mind. It could be something your brother and sister has said to you to encourage you. I urge you to keep these things in mind, because I think once we go back to these first earlier steps of thinking about it and then talking about it and then praying about it, these are the things we want to have in mind when we make these decisions. These are the things that we want to be encouraging us to follow after God's will and not our own. These are the things that will lead you closer and closer to God. So before I end, I just wanted to bring us to a prayer, another one that Paul did before the Ephesians, and this is how I'll end. This is taken from Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23, and I'll read this. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let me pray to close this off. Father God, right now we thank you for each time that you have brought us through a difficult time, a difficult scenario, or a difficult decision. We thank you for being the all-knowing God who has the best plan for us, that you've made each of us uniquely, and you've made the path we take uniquely. And right now, we bring up each time that we've ignored you or sought after our own will over yours. We're sorry for these times, and we pray that as we continue to live as your body, as your servants, that each day we would be made new, that we would be more eager to read your word, to hear from you, that we would be more observant and more keen to the ways that you are leading others, and be able to bless them in that way, to share with them what we've seen of you for them. And we lift up each of these days to come that that you would be at the center of it all, that you would make our path straight, that you would see to the flourishing of your kingdom here, and that we would readily see our role in your kingdom here. But yeah, we thank you for this time that we could share it with one another, to be in your word, to hear our different thoughts about what discernment may be. But I pray that truly at the end of the day, that your spirit would guide us to proper discernment, to a proper judgment and understanding of what your will is for us, and to be able to act on it readily. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay.